Welcome to Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. And today, the discussion is going to be talking about parenting habits and using money to comfort them. Now, I know some people are probably looking like, wait a minute, what are you talking about using money to comfort? Comfort who? Comfort your kids. We always use money to comfort ourselves. We have retail therapy. We have a lot of different things that we use to treat ourselves when we are down. I am guilty of this. Now, I will go out, if I'm in a bad mood, I'll go out and I'll buy myself something nice. Or I'll go buy something for my birthday. Or if nobody gets me anything for Christmas, I'm buying my own thing for Christmas. Didn't get anything for Valentine's Day. I'm buying my own thing for Valentine's Day. Didn't get anything for Father's Day. I'm buying myself something for Father's Day. We have all been there. We have treated ourselves time and time again with no regard and no regret and not even a second thought. But have you ever thought about the idea that we probably do the same thing to our kids? And it's not that far-fetched, to be honest. Now, for example, and you know I'm going to give you an example. When my son was younger, I used to do the same thing. And when there was a disappointment that happened with his mom not picking him up or him not being able to go over there for the weekend and he would act out, I would treat him to the movies. I would go and buy him a toy. I would go and, you know, we would do various things. I would get him ice cream, you know, to try to ease that pain and not have the conversation with him about his feelings, about his thought process. And to see where his mindset was and how he was feeling about the situation. Now, granted, there was a lot of disappointment coming up. And I thought this conversation would be imperative because we need to get to the point, or we should get to the point, where we're having conversations with our kids and not masking their feelings with presents and gifts, food, anything that is comforting, because in the long run, that tends to be, it turns into a habit. Anytime that you feel bad or you feel low, you tend to want to comfort yourself with money or you comfort yourself with gifts. We do it as an adult and we tend to kind of turn around and do that to our kids. And I'm not going to say everybody does that, but it is imperative that it does happen. And it's worth mentioning. I've done it and I'm like, man, maybe this is something that I should talk about on a podcast, because I wonder how many other people out there that when their kid suffers some kind of disappointment or suffers some kind of loss, we don't actually talk about the loss. We don't actually talk about the disappointment, but we just go ahead and we just mask it with money, or we mask it with something else. It doesn't have to be money. It could be gifts. It could be a certain activity. It could be any of that stuff instead of just sitting there and having a conversation. It makes me think, you know, when my son was acting out, did we have these conversations, or should I have had the conversations, to say the least? Should I have had these conversations with him to say, hey, talk to me. Tell me how you are feeling. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to cry. It's okay to experience disappointment. It's okay to experience being upset and frustrated with somebody. And we can talk about those things instead of just turn around and say, you know what, do you want to go and get ice cream? Will ice cream make you feel better? Because then it becomes like a comforting thing that they associate their attitudes with. So it was like, if I'm in a bad mood, then I'll go and buy myself a gift that will make me feel better. For example, one of the things I have done in my life, it comes from not being able to express pain. So I like to get tattoos, and with my tattoos, I always get a tattoo when something major happened in my life. So, and it has to be a major event, like a very painstaking event that has happened to me. And what I end up doing is I will go get a tattoo in order to kind of pain, kind of get that pain out. And it's kind of weird, but like one of my biggest tattoos happened from when my ex-fiance left, and I ended up getting a giant tattoo on my back because she kind of intentionally walked out of me and my son's life. So in order to be able to get past that pain and mask that pain, I went ahead and got this giant dragon tattoo on my back. And then that's the same thing for all my other tattoos. Anytime I experience a huge event of pain or disappointment, I'll go and get a tattoo, and that tattoo would make me feel better afterwards. I can't really explain it. It's like going through the pain of getting a tattoo and then going through the pain of realizing or recognizing that what I'm dealing with is equivalent to the pain that I'm going through by marking up my body. It just kind of relieves me in a way. So anytime I just feel like I'm just going through a lot, or something is occurring or happening that's very painful, I'll go and get a tattoo. When my grandma had died, I didn't go and get a tattoo for my grandmother when she died. And that was a huge loss for me because that was my best friend. But what I end up doing is I kind of just waited a while until I can just really get the right tattoo. But even then, I didn't get the right tattoo. I went and got another tattoo in order to kind of mask that pain that I was going through. And that's kind of how I comfort myself with some of my worst sorrow days or some of my sad days. So I will go and get a tattoo. And I don't get a tattoo often. I think I've had, out of like my 9 tattoos, about 9 or 10 tattoos last time I counted. But I rarely get them for like pleasure or leisure. But if something of huge magnitude that gets me really, really down and I can't surface from that, I'll go and get a tattoo, and it relieves everything. So that's kind of how I comfort myself, you know, through the pain. And sometimes if I go through something like that and I don't want to go get a tattoo, I'll go buy something. So I do love electronics. I do love technology. So I'll go buy a new cell phone. I'll go buy something for my car, maybe some sounds. I love sounds. And I love nice, crisp sounds. So gifts should be more so a reward for achieving. And this is one of the things that I kind of struggle with coming up, because, you know, I will reward my son with recognition, praise, and everything. But I will also buy him whatever he wanted. So it's kind of like he was spoiled. We just going to put it out there. He was a spoiled kid. Okay. And I wanted to get him, and we all the parents say the same thing. I want to give my kid what I didn't have when I was growing up, which is perfectly understandable. It's honestly nothing against that whatsoever. I expect you to do for your kids and put your kids in opportunities that obviously you didn't have. That's what you're supposed to do as a parent. You're supposed to elevate them higher than what your childhood was, correct? Now, if I'm wrong, you could always let me know, because I am all for being wrong. I like to be right, but I'm all for being wrong. So if at any event I'm wrong, please tell me. I am all for it. But anyways, one of the things that I do want to say is that putting my son in opportunities has benefited him. And as he got older, I started to tie in his achievements with rewards. So when you achieve something, you get a reward. Instead of when he faced disappointment, then I turn around and give him a reward, because I didn't want him to associate rewards with disappointment. And I can only imagine when I was a kid, and I can't remember a lot of things that happened in my childhood, but if my dad didn't show up to pick me up, there was no video game that was coming my way. There was no trip to get ice cream. There was no $2 to go to the store and get a 25 cent bag of chips and 45 cent juice. It wasn't any of that. I had to suffer with the disappointment and sit on the couch, pout my lips because my dad didn't come and pick me up. And then I had to listen to individuals, talk about my dad in a particular tone or talk about him in a particular conversation, regardless of what was said or how it was said. It didn't allow me to be able to express how I felt about the situation. It didn't allow me to say my piece or to understand or recognize what is actually happening in the situation. So I was never able to express and identify those feelings and those emotions when it came to my dad being absent. And to think about it, if I was able to express our ideas and emotions, you know, how much better off or emotionally intelligent or emotionally stable could I have been later on in life? Not saying that I'm not now, but how much further along would a person be if they're able to express and address those emotional feelings and be able to address them when they're a kid? Because as a boy or as a man growing up, we learn that we can't cry. We learn that we can't show emotion. We learn that it's not okay to exhibit any type of weakness. And as you grow up and become older, you go through your adolescent years, you know, you become a teenager and you become an adult. And then you realize that it's okay to talk about your feelings. It's okay to cry, because when you pin all that stuff up, it's not healthy. And I am one to tell you, I have pent up a lot of rage, a lot of anger, nerves, a lot of words unspoken to people. I built a lot of that up through high school. And I had so much juice, so much of that bottled up into a container. I literally had the worst temper and attitude towards any individual that stepped in front of me. It didn't matter whether you was a bum at the bus stop. It didn't matter if you was a teacher. It didn't matter if you was a mentor trying to look out for me. None of that stuff mattered. You could have been my cousin. You could have been my parent. None of that stuff mattered, because I was not able to express how I feel, because I was put in a mindset that I was not allowed to express those feelings. And when you're not allowed to express those feelings, you find yourself in a situation where you're always angry because you don't have an outlet. You can't outlet your thoughts. You can't relieve them. You can't off them. You can't unload them. So they're kind of sleep with you, and you're constantly dwelling on them. The mind is such a crazy thing, because in most cases, it doesn't let you sleep. Sometimes it replays situations over and over and over again, and you're just sitting there trying to get past it, but you can't necessarily get past it. So it's just kind of just stuck with you in the back of your head. It's just right there. And you just like, I just want time or mental space for myself. Sometimes you just want to feel empty and don't have the pressures of frustration and attitude embedded in your chest and has nowhere to go. I spent my whole high school tenure, because I was only in high school for 4 years. So I spent my whole high school tenure that way, just frustrated and mad at the world because I couldn't express how I felt. I couldn't say or speak my mind. And whenever I did speak my mind, I had a tone about it. I had a smart mouth about it. And then I didn't care who feelings that I hurt whenever I said how I said it the way I said it. And I'm pretty sure all of us has been there. And then we have people that are emotionally intelligent or emotionally stable that can talk about their feelings and recognize the triggers that triggered them to feel the way that they are feeling. I wasn't able to figure that out until I was damn near an adult, until I was damn near in my 30s. I started learning about emotional intelligence. I started learning about How can I express myself and be verbally expressive to how I feel, especially in a relationship? You see, can you understand how all of that information, all of those situations, all of those experiences, all of them conversations that I wish I could have had about my emotions, how all those are just, they fit in together like a puzzle. They fit together like the binding of a book. It's hard to not express or to try to put the knowledge out there that our kids need to learn and be able to express themselves. When I realized that what I was doing and what I was doing was wrong, and that I was only mimicking what I was already taught, and I was kind of pushing that same experiences and those same activities and thoughts and feelings, I was pushing those out to my son, like, hey, no, you are not supposed to cry. You are a boy. You are not supposed to exhibit emotions. You are a boy. That's not healthy. And it's not toxic masculinity. I'm not going to say that. I'm not even going to go that far or go into that apparatus or that mind state, because I don't believe in masculine toxic masculinity. I don't believe in that. But I do believe in sitting down and having a conversation with these kids or with your kids and letting them know, like, hey, I don't want to, just because you're mad doesn't mean I'm going to buy you something. Because kids will think that if they throw a tantrum, you're going to buy them something. Because if they want it, oh, if I flip out or act out, I'm going to get what I want. You know how kids act. When they in a store, they see something. Oh, I like that. I want that. You can't have it. Oh, I want it. And they flip out and, you know, they act all crazy and shit. I do implore anybody that's a parent or that want to be a parent or that's trying to be in their kids' lives is to sit down and have weekly conversations about how they feel. Talk to them about what's going on in school. Create that open avenue of conversation. And I know it's easy for some people and difficult for others. And they believe that, well, I have a great relationship with my kid until you find out that your kid committed a mass murder. Or they committed a massacre. Or they're out there smoking weed. Or they're out there committing other crimes, robbing people. Everybody think that their kid's a good kid. They go to school, they get good grades because of what they show them. And it's hard to understand that just because of what you see in front of you doesn't mean that's what the actual truth is. I was a kid too. I did stuff behind my mom's back. I snuck home on school days to sit at home and do nothing and not even go to school. And I put over a 3.0 average, but yet I skipped school a lot. Was there an argument or a basis there that my mom could sit there and say, my mom approached me one time and she said, you have 18 absences in one class. You had another 16 in this class and you have another 12 in this class. And I simply told her, I said, you're absolutely right. I do have absences, but I have a 3.2 GPA. Can you really be mad at me though? Like, I really made the argument that you can't be mad because I brought home a 3.2. But I knew the formula on what days to skip. I knew if we had a substitute teacher, I was skipping. If we didn't have a test, I would skip. My friends used to ask me, how the hell you got a 3.2 and you skip class more than I do? Because I'm always here for the test. The test is worth majority of your grade. So why the hell would I skip on test day? And I turn in my homework. So I don't have to be in class for the classwork. The classwork only worth like, what? It was worth like 10, 15% of your grade. The homework was worth another 20% probably. And then you had your midterm and your final exam. Those was probably like 35% a piece or more. Or it was like 50% of your grade for that first term. So of course, I'm gonna do my homework. I'm gonna do a little bit of classwork I do when I'm in class, and I'm gonna be there for the test. Everything else, skippable. I skipped. And I mean, even when they had the truancy officers, I knew when to leave the building. I'm walking right out the front door. I ain't never used the back. What I'm using the back door for? Because if I'm using the back door, they're going to expect me to use the back door. If I'm walking out the front, they ain't expecting me to walk out the front door. And I walk right out the front door and go over to the bus stop and catch the bus home. So if my mom is listening to this, I know you remember the conversation, because I looked you dead in your face and was like, hey, yeah, I got these absences, but I got a 3.2 average. can I really get in trouble for this? There's no need for me to get in trouble. I have good grades. It's not like I walked in with a 2.5. It's not like I walked in with a 2.0. And I ain't justifying that any kid should do it. I'm not justifying that at all. Only thing that I'm saying is that if I was a kid just like everybody else was a kid, we have to open up them lanes of conversation. We have to recognize and praise when rewards are needed. We need to be able to have these conversations and allow the children to be able to express themselves vocally so they can understand why they feel the way they feel and be able to get through it through conversational means. And don't get me wrong, I used to whoop my son because that's how I was raised. Go back there, get that switch off the tree and bring it here. Now, I used to try to go get the flimsiest one, but that's the background that I came from. And I'm not saying that is right. Back then, let's be honest, kids were a little tougher back then. We jumped over fences, we scraped ourselves, we couldn't go to the hospital. We barely had insurance, so you know we weren't going to the hospital. But in the same token, even though we were tougher back then, a lot of us, or some of us, wasn't really able to express how we felt. It's not to say that we wasn't heard when we talked, we just weren't able to express how we feel, especially emotionally. You know, if I scrape my leg, yeah, I'm in pain, I'm hurting. That's one thing. But to sit there and talk about, yeah, man, like, I'm feeling very frustrated right now because my dad didn't pick me up and I can't get past this feeling. Like, can we talk about it? Was not a conversation. I mean, hell, I can't really honestly tell you that my parents told me that they were proud of me. I mean, I've done a lot of things so far as activities and trying to be successful in life, but I can't really say that. I've heard my parents say, you know what? I'm proud of you. I think I maybe heard it like last year or the last 2 years or whatever, but you know, kind of get more talking to than like her, even as an adult. I'd be like, man, have you ever, let me tell you how I'm feeling. He'd be like, well, why you feel that way? It would be a whole conversation. It'd be like a 5-minute conversation. Then we right on to the next subject. I'd be like, you ain't need to hear what I said. I'm trying to tell you how I feel, you know. But again, it's a different generation. Now, I would definitely say I've seen one of my friends, and I see how she is with her son. And I'm giving her a shout out because, you know, I'm very proud of her and how she handles her son, because the way she handled her son and have conversation with him on how he feels and how he expresses himself, and he can tell her, I'm feeling like this emotionally. This is what I need. Or I just want to be loved today. I just want to be hugged today. Like, can you hug me? Seeing how their interactions are, it makes me rethink how, you know, I kind of handle my son as a man growing up, because I kind of put him under that same stipulation that I was under. Basically stating that if you're a man, you're a boy, you can't cry, you can't do this, you can't do anything. You have to be this way because that's what it is. That's a man. And that's not true. So I'll leave you with this. Have the conversation with your kid. Do not use money and gifts to comfort them when they're disappointed. If that's what you choose to do, that's fine. It's nothing wrong with it when you're an adult. But when it's with a kid and they can't vocally express themselves, just imagine what happens to them once they get older because they can't vocally express themselves. I need you to think of the big picture. This is M&G. This is Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. Leave us a voice message on the link on Spotify. If you want to go ahead and send us a message, you can send it to Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy @gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, Farewell MNG. So I will catch y'all on the next recording. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists, and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.